questions about what was shared this morning, please please come and ask. There will be an opportunity to be prayed for. Maybe you would like to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Please come and ask. Maybe Kerry's word spoke deeply to your heart and you feel that maybe you're that person. Or maybe like Jim, you just want to be prayed for some courage, and we would love to pray with you. Okay.
Well, welcome everybody, and good morning. What a good morning. I love it when God goes before you and you think, oh, how's this going to go this morning? And just he takes over, and isn't it great? So before we start, I'm going to pray. Father, I want to thank you that you are here. I want to thank you that you are at work amongst us, that you are empowering us, that you are transforming us from one degree of glory to another. Thank you that you are speaking to each and every person. And Lord, I ask that you would use my feeble attempts at sharing your word to speak boldly and powerfully into people's lives. Lord, I need you. And I ask that you would guide my words as I speak now. Amen. Okay, so over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit and what's going on. We've already heard what Pete talked about. Last week, John Wilthew reminded us that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and the importance of staying connected and abiding in Jesus. He also reminded us that we can expect to be pruned, which is a little bit painful at times and comes in many ways. And he, a couple of weeks back before that, we had Marshall speaking on life in the Holy Spirit and what it means to live the Spirit-filled life, seeing signs and wonders and just the outpouring of the Spirit of God in our lives. And if you missed either of those two series, I just want to really encourage you to listen to them again. Find them online and listen to them, because they were really good, really helpful sermons, and they will be beneficial to you as we move forward today. So today's passage is a little bit of a challenging one, perhaps one we'd rather not hear at points, but Jesus tells it to us, so it's one we need to hear, and many of Jesus' disciples around the world today know very well. My hope today is that although it's a challenging passage in many ways, it will encourage us to seek more of the Holy Spirit's work within our life as we see other reasons why we need the Holy Spirit. But just before we start, I'm just going to ask for a little bit of a quiz question. If you love Marmite, put your hands up. Well, yeah, okay, thank you. If you hate Marmite and it's disgusting, put your hands up. I got you, Ben, I heard you. And is there anybody that's a bit indifferent and you don't really mind? And there we go. So I've titled today's talk, Expect to be Marmite, because actually following Jesus is a little bit like that. And hopefully, as you will see, we may get the same kind of reactions that Marmite gets. Some people love Jesus and love what we stand for and who we are. Some people go, oh, can't stand him and wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. And other people are just apathetic and a bit indifferent. So we're going to be starting at John chapter 15, verse 8. So, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they do to you on the account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. So, I don't know about you, but on first glance, that's quite a potentially discouraging verse. The thought of being hated. None of us like to be hated, do we? We all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. But the reality is that Jesus has told us and warned us that we can expect to be hated. Christians should not be surprised that those who follow Jesus don't like them. And it's a pattern that we've seen in the world since Cain and Abel in Genesis, all the way through to how Jesus was treated and resulting in his death on the cross. He did nothing wrong. He went around doing good, healing the sick, casting out demons, bringing the kingdom of God in, and yet he was hated. When we become a follower of Jesus, we become a citizen of heaven. We are seated in heavenly places, and though our physical flesh is actually here, we are seated in heavenly realms which no longer belong to this world. The lives we live should be noticeably different to that of the world. The way we spend our time, the way we spend our money should be different to those around us. The way we speak and behave should be noticeably different to many around us. We should be people for our kindness, generosity, for our radical love, honesty, integrity. We should be the ones standing up for injustice and defenselessness and God's word. We should be the most trusted and best employees, the most caring, and even neighbours, even to those who persecute us, don't like us, and cause us grief. When we live like that, the world will have no reason to hate us, but some will. Not because of who we are, but because of who we are, and we bring a challenge to them. And because of that, Jesus repeated again that we can expect to be hated because a servant is no greater than his master. Now we know that Jesus went through all these things. So if Jesus went through persecution and death and all of these things, then we know that we can expect that too. I'm just going to stop and we're just going to pray for John at the back there. So Father, we just ask right now for your healing power to come upon John. Lord, we ask, Father, right now that you would bring peace and comfort to John and to Anne. Holy Spirit, have your way, Father. Bless them, strengthen them, give the medical professions all the support and help we need. And we speak to whatever sickness is there and we command it to be gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you didn't hear that, it's because of John's diabetes. So he is going to be fine, praise God. And we're going to carry on and try not to get too distracted by the ambulance. And because God's got some stuff that he wants to say to us today. And I know that's hard, but he is here and he is speaking to us. So, Brother Yun is a Chinese house church leader. And he tells his story in a book called The Heavenly Man. He writes, on his way home from a Christian meeting in December 1983, he was arrested by government agents and asked his name and address as a prelude to their forcing him to betray the identities of local Christians. I am a heavenly man, he replied in a loud voice. I live in Gospel Village. People call me Morning Star. My father's name is Abundant Blessing. My mother's name is Faith, Hope, Love. I don't know where the meetings took place because I'm a heavenly man. I'm not from this earth. He was shouting to warn other Christians to run and hide, but it also earned him 4 years in a prison labour camp. There are many scriptures that warn us not to expect an easy ride because we follow Jesus. Matthew 5:10 says, "Blessed are those who persecute you because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." There are many other verses like that. As we live out and share the good news of Jesus, we highlight God's law to those around us. And that will just naturally cause people to dislike us, treat us like Marmite, love us or hate us. Some will be indifferent. And you never know. I used to be indifferent to Marmite. Now I love it. So I know I would have said the same about Jesus. So I wonder if you're sat here today and you're indifferent about Jesus, maybe today's the day that you need to try it again or try him for the first time instead of just be sitting around indifferent, thinking, yeah, that sounds all right, but you never know, your taste buds might change. So in Revelations 2:3, Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, you have persevered and endured hardship for my name, and you have not grown weary. Could Jesus write or say the same to us? Do we still live so much in the world's rules that those around us fail to see that we are foreign heavenly citizens? Are we so of the world that still nobody hates us for challenging the way that we challenge them by what we bring? Are we so used to keeping silent about King Jesus that the authorities don't see us as a threat and they can simply ignore us? I don't say these things to condemn us. Far from it. It's an applicable challenge to myself as well. I have to step out. I have to challenge myself. I have to break through fear barriers, because actually we are in a battle and fear is one of those things that will stop us. But if we are living, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But that's the bad news over. You know, that's not very great. But if we didn't have, as we've hopefully heard this morning, this helper, the Holy Spirit, then that would be bad news. But it's not the case, as Brother Yun's story suggests, and we'll hear a little bit more about that in a minute. So in John 15:22 to 24, it goes on, and he just talks about, very briefly, I'm going to touch on this just because it might be a bit confusing, when Jesus said that I'd come and I've shown them the guilt of their sin, or they're now guilty of sin. It's not because they're never been guilty of sin, because Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in this case, Jesus has revealed the Father to them, and they have openly rejected Jesus at this point, and they've shown their hatred for Father God, and that is on top of the other sins in their lives. So that's what Jesus is meaning when he's saying that it's because I've come and I've done these works that they are now guilty of sin. And I also think it's really important to point out that people saw Jesus doing miraculous signs and wonders, and they still rejected him. So there are many people in our world who will encounter Jesus. They will see signs and wonders. They may be healed or see people healed. They may have clear prophetic words, and they will still reject Jesus. That is a scary place for them to be, but that is the reality. And we should not be surprised when that happens. That is not a judgment on ourselves. That is people rejecting Jesus. And that I find really encouraging. Because when I share my faith with someone, if they don't want to know any more about it and they reject it, then they rejected Jesus. So why shouldn't they reject me at times? So everybody goes through some kind of bullying and trials and challenges in their life, whether you know Jesus or not. actually there are many people in the world who don't know Jesus, who go through challenges, persecution of some form or other, and it is just a natural part of living the life that we live here in the earth. However, the difference is, as a Christian, we have our Saviour Jesus. And if we are being falsely accused for something that we didn't do, we can take that to Jesus, who also was falsely accused of something he didn't do. And we can ask him to help us, to strengthen us, and to help us to respond his way. If someone is bullying you in the workplace or in school, again, Jesus knows what it's like to be bullied, to be physically bullied, as well as the emotional abuse and insults. Again, we can take that to Jesus, knowing that we have our Lord and Saviour, the great high priest, who knows exactly what it's like. And we can ask him to strengthen us and help us to respond like Jesus. We don't have a Saviour who doesn't understand the challenges and the difficulties of this world. Jesus will never ask us to do something that he hasn't already experienced. He will never put us through an encounter that he doesn't know and understand what that feels like. He's been there. He's lived it. He's done it. So if you are facing some level of persecution or trial, God has not abandoned you, or is not punishing, and he's not punishing you. It's just part of the battle that we are living in. We are saved into an army of God. And remember that Jesus tells us to pray for and bless those who persecute us. Jesus goes on to say, and this is the good bit, in 15, 26 and 27, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, and he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away, but they will put you out of synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God, but they will do these things because they have not known the Father. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you remember that I told them to you." So this should be really encouraging news. And we've taught a lot on this over the last month or so, of the importance of the Holy Spirit and living out the Holy Spirit life. The verse says that the Holy Spirit will bear witness about Jesus. So when we are speaking about Jesus, when we are loving our neighbours and our colleagues and our friends, when we are blessing those who persecute us, when we are just living out our lives as Spirit-filled followers of Jesus, we can trust that the Holy Spirit is working in those conversations, that he is bringing about what he wants to ordain in those circumstances. Jesus warns us, he says here, so that we don't get knocked off the narrow path of following him, but he sends the Helper. And that is such an encouragement to us, because if we didn't have the Helper, as I said, all would be lost. But we do. We don't do any of this. We don't live our life in our own strength. We can't withstand persecution and hatred and not get totally worn down by it unless we have the Helper. And it's so important that we seek to be baptized and filled with the Spirit every day. We also know that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So when we're going through these challenges, Holy Spirit, not only will he help us, he brings comfort. That's another name for the Holy Spirit. And he will comfort us in our trials. He will remind us of the truths of who we are in him, that we're not worthless. We're so precious that we were bought at such a great price that Jesus was willing to die for us. In Acts 2, we see the transformation of the disciples when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon a group of powerless and dejected disciples. They'd been walking with Jesus for 3 years. They'd seen him do mighty miracles. They knew that he was the Messiah. And yet, when Jesus was arrested, they fled, they abandoned him. Peter was brave enough to follow him but keep a distance and then deny him 3 times. This group of potentially could be seen as shy individuals, or certainly weak and feeble and cowardly individuals. Suddenly, at Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them, become bold and courageous for Jesus. Those disciples, not only do they become bold and courageous, they change the world because of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in them. And they know the consequences of being bold like that. If you think that living a bold, courageous Christian life is for gregarious, bold types, the extroverts in life, then you are wrong. It's for those that are shy, quiet, timid, introverted. There's no such thing as that's not for me. If you are hungry for Jesus, if you want to live the godly life, then all you need to do is be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will empower you to do whatever you need to do. He will enable you to withstand hatred and persecution and even death, glorifying him in the process. There are many stories throughout the world of Christians being martyred for their faith. When we follow Jesus, it is not an easy ride. But it's not needing to be a ride full of fear and timidness or anything else, because we have the helper who empowers us, the helper who enables us to pray as we need to pray, the helper who gives us the words we need to say to be bold, the helper who takes our fear away, because perfect love casts out fear. In Acts 4, again, we see the outworking of this pouring out of the Holy Spirit before the council of and it says in chapter 8 that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in 13 and 14, a bit later on, it says those that were there saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Remember what we've already talked about, the importance of being with Jesus, of abiding with him, of spending time with him. And then it goes on in 18 to 20. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard." I don't know about you, but I want that kind of boldness. I want that boldness that when challenge and persecution comes, I will run the race and endure the race that I am called to live and that you are called to live for Jesus. I don't want to be someone who denies Jesus. I want to be filled with the Spirit, and I want to be that kind of bold. When someone says you can't, I'll say, well, I can't help but talk about the things I've seen Jesus do and the things I've seen him say to me and all these things. And that should be our default. But Peter would never have thought that only a few weeks previously when Jesus was arrested. He was that cowardly man who denied Jesus at that point. The difference being the helper had come. Jesus had ascended and the helper had been sent. So Brother Yun's wife said about the years in which her husband was in prison, despite the hardships, or rather because of them, the church experienced rapid growth. Revival fires from the Lord ignited across China. Yun added that Christians still in prison found their witness was empowered because of many fervent prayers for us. Consequently, countless prisoners came to know the Lord. Many government officials and Communist Party members received Jesus at that time. Some even started to witness boldly for the Lord. it is very well known that when the church is persecuted, it grows. It's a bit of a dichotomy in some ways. On the one hand, we're thinking, don't get this, we're being persecuted, and we should be shrinking because people will be dropping off. But actually, in that process, Holy Spirit empowers us and emboldens us to be bolder than we've ever been before, because Jesus is the risen living God and he wants to see people's lives saved and transformed. So in that process, we get emboldened and those that are lost get drawn to our courage and our boldness. I don't know whether you've seen the email that John sent this morning, but just an encouraging and a reminder to us that actually perfect love casts out fear, and we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And in this time with coronavirus going on, we have a different viewpoint to a lot of the world. We don't need to fear death. We can be wise about how we do it, so we don't make sure we don't spread it to others around us and the vulnerable. But we have nothing to fear. We should be carrying hope to those who are in fear at this time. And we should be bringing peace. We are peace carriers. And we can do that when we're filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. An E-shuk was a Korean woman who lived in terrible times in Japanese-occupied Korea in the 30s throughout. In 1945, she took a powerful stand alone for God's truth, despite arrest, imprisonment, and possible execution. She was imprisoned in a prison camp for her faith and refused to bow the knee to Japanese idol worship, though many Christians did that day. She was tortured for 6 years until her release. Throughout her life, there were countless examples of God's intervention. On the day of her release, a sympathetic prison guard shouted, "Ladies and gentlemen, these are the ones for whom 6 long years refused to worship Japanese gods. They fought against severe torture, hunger, and cold, and have won without bowing the knee to the idols worship of Japan. Today, they are the champions of faith." And the crowd then shouted, "Praise to be to the name of Jesus," and began to sing joyously. It's this under challenge, under persecution, Holy Spirit works in us and others because they see what's in us and see what's going on, and the church grows. And she was able to walk out as someone who wasn't allowed to praise the name of Jesus, to be into a big crowd of people lifting up the name of Jesus. How amazing is that? And in the last section of this chapter, in chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." We see individuals in the Old Testament having the Holy Spirit come upon them on occasions and at different times. But the Holy Spirit couldn't come in the fullness of his power until Jesus had come, conquered death, and rose again. The Helper refers back to the anticipation of the outpouring of the Spirit and the inauguration of the kingdom of God spoken about in the Old Testament in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and others. Jesus tells us that it's our advantage that he goes away, because that now means that he is able to be accessible by all of us. Holy Spirit is the only one who can be everywhere all the time and empower us. No one else, nothing else on earth can be across the whole earth at any time. That's great news for us, because it means that we get to know Jesus personally. We get to know his power and his presence. Not only does it mean that we walk with him, he dwells in us, as we heard last week, that abiding in Christ, and he abides in us. And we couldn't do that if Jesus didn't go. In fact, if Jesus didn't go up and send the helper, then most of us in this room probably would never have even met him, let alone know him personally and be able to call him friend. So that is great news for us. And verse 8 also should encourage us that he will send the helper to us. And when he comes, he being Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he does that, as I said, about the way he works in people's hearts and through what we say as individuals and how we live our lives. But actually, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts people of their sin and what is righteous and just. And there's an expectation in what he says. He doesn't say he might convict people of sin. He says he will convict people of sin. We do not do the saving, ladies and gentlemen. If you hadn't figured that out already, we cannot heal anyone. We cannot live the Spirit-filled life. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. And it's him that does the convicting. It's him that changes our hearts. It's him that changes other people's hearts. So I'm hoping that I have convinced you today that we need to have the Holy Spirit fully in our lives. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know the Holy Spirit in your life in fullness of power, then we're going to pray for that in a short while. It may be that you've encountered the presence of God and you know the nice feeling of knowing God in that way, but do you know that you have been empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit? Because if you haven't, I want to encourage you today to seek a baptism of the Holy Spirit, like we saw in Acts, that will utterly empower us and embolden us to live our lives how Jesus wants us to live. So to conclude, we can expect to be hated and we can expect challenges in our life, but we don't need to fear them. We must not fear them, because we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfill the commandment of Jesus to go into all the world, heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the leper, and make disciples, and to endure the persecution when it comes. And thirdly, we need to be praying for Holy Spirit to convict us and the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness, because he is the one that does that. So I'm going to just go into some time for us to respond to what I've said now, and we're going to wait on Holy Spirit. So the first person or people here today are those, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, if you have never bowed the knee to Jesus, if you don't know him personally and you don't have that assurance and hope in life that no matter what the trial you face, you've got a Saviour who is able to strengthen you through it, who will give you hope and meaning and purpose in your life, then now is the time that you can do that. So I'm just going to ask everyone to close their eyes. And if you want to know Jesus, if you want to accept Jesus as your Saviour, knowing that you are living your life away from Jesus, that you've hated Jesus, that you've, as Jesus said, if you reject him, you hate him and you hate the Father. And that is one of the biggest sins of all. If you know that you need to get right with God today, then I just ask you right now to raise your hand. Okay. If you don't know 100% that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I tell you now, there is always more. I am regularly seeking for a deeper, stronger baptism in the Spirit of God, because I believe that there is still more for me in my life, and I believe that John and Phil and every one of us here, there is more to be had. But if you don't know Jesus, and you don't know the boldness and the courage of Jesus, that he has baptized you with his Holy Spirit, then I just want to ask you to stand right now so that we can pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit to come on. It might be the first time, or it may be that you're just feeling dry, you want more of this boldness and this courage. I just ask you to stand now, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. We don't need, we're not going to have any worship music on. I'm just going to let God do what God does. But if you want more of Jesus, if you want a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that infilling that's going to empower you and enable you to live out the Christian life more and more, to see his kingdom come, then can you stand now, please? If you can. If you're unable to stand but want it, just raise your hand so that we can. Thank you. Father God, Lord, I ask right now that you would fill this place with your Spirit. I pray for each and every person standing right now. Father, I thank you that you promise that you will pour out your Spirit on all people, that when we ask you, that you love to give good gifts, and when we seek you, we will be found by you. So Father, I ask right now that these that are standing or have their hands raised, Lord, that you would come and fill them right now with your Holy Spirit. Bring your Holy Spirit power right now upon each and every person in this room, that we would be bolder witnesses for you, that we would endure to the end. Come, Holy Spirit, increase your presence right now. More, Lord. More, Lord. Feel there's one or two people who are standing who have put a glass ceiling on, and there may be that you're sitting, but I feel there are people here who have put a glass ceiling on their expectation of what they will do for God and what they can achieve for Jesus in their lives. And that they're living in that's not me, I'm not that person, I can't do that mentality. If that's you, can I just ask you to raise your hand? Thank you. Any others? Father, I want to thank you that it doesn't matter who we are or what we've done in the last. When we know you, Lord Jesus, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. And I break the lie of I can't do that. That's not me. I can only achieve this much or go that far. I break that now. In the name of Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Kerry shared about those that are struggling and gasping for air. I want to now pray for those who feel like they're going through a challenging time, that perhaps you're getting some persecution in your workplace or your family, or you're just coming up against it in different ways. If that is you, can I encourage you to stand now so that we can pray for you? thank you that you are the great helper, that you are the one who empowers us and enables us to do all that you want us to do, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And Father, I ask right now that you would help each one of my sisters standing today who are facing persecution, who are facing trials and challenges, Lord, that you would be their sufficient and all in all, that you would help them to look to you, that you would strengthen them, give them courage and boldness, give them wisdom to know what to say and how to respond. Let them be gentle as a dove and wise as a serpent. Father God, will you come right now? I just break off any yokes of heaviness over each of you in the name of Jesus. I break any sense of weariness off you in the name of Jesus, and ask, Father, that you would bring joy. Lord, you've said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I ask, Father, that you would give each person standing joy despite their circumstances, despite what is going on. Lord, I ask that you would give them joy that would strengthen them, the joy that comes from knowing you, the joy that isn't about the situation, but it's just that joy of knowing the presence of our Father and the fact that we've been saved and redeemed and restored. That it would strengthen and encourage my sisters standing there, in Jesus' name. And finally, I want to pray for all of us, that any fear of persecution would be broken, and that each and every one of us would be filled afresh, and that Jesus would enable us to stand firm in our faith and not fall away. So if you want to just receive that prayer for fear of persecution or challenge, because it is going to come at some point in our lives if we are living our life for Jesus. If you want that prayer to be prayed over you now, if you want to just stand. Father, I thank you that perfect love casts out fear. I thank you that when persecution comes, we have nothing to fear. I thank you, Jesus, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And I just break fear off each and every one of us now in the name of Jesus. Fear of man, be gone in the name of Jesus. Fear of pain, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of persecution, be gone in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask right now that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit power, that we would not fall away when persecution comes, that we would stand firm, reminding us that Jesus said that these challenges and these persecutions would come, but that he is our helper, that he is our rock, that he is our strong tower and our mighty fortress. Holy Spirit, will you do and cement whatever needs cementing in our hearts right now? Father, will you come, strengthen us, enable us, and help us all to live more and more in step with you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Marie. Okay, we're going to have tea and coffee together now. If the ministry team would make themselves available, we would love to pray some more for you. So if you want to ask any questions or have prayer for anything that's been discussed today, please come up the front. Can I see ministry team, please, heading up this way?